Hello, welcome and thank you for joining us and listening to our podcast, The God Beyond the Bible. Our podcast is released weekly each Friday. The content of each episode is based on the questions and curiosities we all have about God and the Bible. Many of our topics are considered taboo in the minds of the mainstream church. You will find our discussions to be, I think, refreshing and often far from traditional. But we don't just skirt around these complex issues, but confront them head on, and not in the way you're used to hearing them discussed on typical Christian talk shows. I'm Alan Rowland, creator and host of The God Beyond the Bible. As of the launch of this podcast, I've been a pastor for more than 35 years. My co-host is my daughter, Trayson, and our engineer co-producer is my daughter, Tabitha. Our mission is to encourage our audience, along with us, to open our minds to the reality that God is simply too big to be fully explored or experienced by the reading and studying of a single ancient work. In short, the Bible's not the sum of God, and to think this is to limit what He has done, is doing, and what He will do in our future. So with introductions made, thank you for listening, and let's dive into the topic of the day. And welcome to episode number 143 of the podcast, God Beyond the Bible, the podcast created by seekers and for seekers. How about our shout-outs, Trayson?
Our shout-outs are to Rosina and Quentin and to our listeners in Hungary. That just keeps growing, and I think that's so awesome. We'd love to hear from you guys. You can send us an email at email@godbeyondthebible.com. We'd love to hear from you guys out there. Thank you for listening.
All right, our quote is from Albert Einstein.
I like him. He's a smart guy.
Time is relative. Its only worth depends upon what we do as it is passing.
That's good. That's good. Well, our topic for today is time. Our obsession with measuring this thing we call time. Is it an invention of man that has enslaved humanity?
Yes.
Does time actually exist outside our own obsession with it? In the beginning, we read where the sun and moon were to mark the days and the seasons. Every living thing operates according to night and day and the changing seasons. We know that. But modern man is measuring it down to the nanosecond.
Mm-hmm. And trying to manipulate it as though it, yeah.
First of all, time doesn't exist until you begin to measure it. Think about that. If we did not divide and measure time by years, months, weeks, days, hours, minutes, and seconds, and live our lives according to these measurements, our whole society as we know it would collapse. Is that a true statement?
Mm-hmm. Wait, how are you going to show up for work with no concept of be there at 8 a.m.? Well, what's 8 a.m.? I mean,
right.
How are you going to meet up with someone at a certain time if time doesn't exist?
Among all creation, humanity is the only species that puts such emphasis on the measurement of time. Animals seem to be regulated by daylight and dark and the changing seasons, but they don't seem to have any concept of time itself. I mean, your cat or your dog, you can, I mean, not so much your cat, but if you've got a dog, if you're a dog person, then you can be home, gone 15 minutes, come back, open the door, and he's just jumping up and down as well. Or you can be gone 15 hours and he's still.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. My cat's pretty much like that, but he's a little bit weird.
Yeah. We not only manage and regulate all activity by measuring time, we actually estimate the value of things by time. Have you guys ever thought of this?
Yes.
We use the same descriptive terms for time as we do money. Spending money, spending time. Saving money, saving time. Wasting money, wasting time. In fact, we subconsciously value money itself by the time and effort it takes to acquire that amount of money. We are all familiar with the phrase, time is money. What's your thoughts?
I go back to something that, and I know I disagree with a lot of the things he says, but I go back to Dr. Dobson and something he said, and he said, always remember that your job is not paying you for the work that you complete. They are, in fact, buying hours of your life.
Oh, that's a good, that's true.
Yeah. And that's something I've always thought about is.
So what value, when we're younger, we don't put as much value on those hours, do we? And we start getting older and getting closer to it running out, then don't they become more valuable to us?
They do.
And that's really what we're doing, but isn't it, and maybe that's why we're doing it, but then that's really discriminatory. Because in our society, I've said this before, the people that get paid the most do the least for it.
Yes,
and the people that work the hardest
get paid the least. So these people that are working, and we, I don't know, this is my thing, and you guys know my aversion to the sports world and all of that, but it's like, we pay this player, he gets a $5 million a year contract for playing a game that he would play
if it was free.
Anyway, which is cool. That's fine. But then we turn around and this mother of three that's working two different jobs and different shifts and two different jobs, and we say, oh, $15 an hour. Now, raise the minimum wage to $15 an hour. We can't do that.
Yeah.
Look what an absurd society we are.
We are. You know, we expect at fast food restaurants and things like that, I want my 5 cheeseburgers, 5 orders of fries, and 5 drinks out the drive-thru menu window within 3 minutes. But I don't want to pay you guys any extra for that. You know,
did you ever consider that time as we know it is all referenced by the position of the planet Earth in relation to its position to the sun? It takes 365, approximately one-fourth days for the Earth to complete one cycle around the sun. But days are measured by the time, of course, it takes for the Earth to make a single full rotation in reference to its position with the sun. So, as we all know, the Earth rotates on its axis roughly 365 times while it completes one cycle around the sun. Mm-hmm. And this sounds like a science class. I'm just wanting us to get our concept of where we get the concept of time. Would it surprise you to learn that this basic measurement of time is very new compared to how long the Earth has existed? In fact, less than 1,000 years ago, it was believed that the sun was orbiting the Earth. So with that theory, there could be no measurement of time it takes the Earth to orbit the sun, the modern measurement we call a year.
Actually, I did know this because most of what I watch are documentaries. But a couple of cool things that I thought went along with it is, do you guys realize that the Jews had a different concept of days than what we had? If you'll ever notice in the Bible when it says...
Well, I know they had 30-day months. All their months were just 30 days.
And there were 10 of them. But the evening and the morning were the first day. The evening and the morning were the second day.
Now, are you sure there were 10? Weren't there 12?
There might have been 12.
I'm not understanding what you're saying.
Okay. They had a different concept. She's talking about biblically speaking.
The evening and morning were... What do you mean?
The Jewish day starts at sunset.
I mastered it.
Oh, okay.
And it ends at sunset the next day.
Okay, I got you now.
What we consider from midnight to midnight, or, you know, daylight to sunset, that's not what they consider a day. The day starts at sunset, and it ends at the next sunset.
Okay, I got you.
That's probably reflected in the first book of Genesis, in the evening and the morning.
That's exactly.
The third day. I hadn't really thought of that either. When we say today is whatever date it is, let's just use December 31st, 2021, we're referencing the position of the Earth in relation to the sun. Do you ever think about that?
Mm-hmm.
On a linear scale that we use to number the years. We number the revolutions or the cycles we make around the sun. That's how we can calculate and predict the positions of the planets and stars according to any particular date and time. If we know a certain date in history, we can know precisely the alignment of the celestial bodies on that particular day.
Is that not crazy to think about, that you can go back? I watch these documentaries because I'm a nerd, where they're like, okay, 5,000 years ago, and they have these ornate computer programs that can rotate everything around and go, this was the alignment of the planets and what stars were in the sky at this point. This meteor was most like, or this asteroid was most likely here. It blows my mind.
But that's really all we're doing, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because outside of that, I mean, if we didn't do that, we just wouldn't be worried about time.
Mm-mm.
And, you know, time, we use it all the time. Well, enough about how we measure time. Let's talk about the role our measurement of time relates to the way we live life. How would life change for us if as close as we could reference time as merely the date?
Speaking as someone who's been doing some family history, you get back over 300 years ago, we weren't even real good at the date.
Well, no. For example, we know today is, what is it, December 6th? What is it today?
I don't know.
Anyway,
I have to look.
2021, while we're recording this podcast, but we had no measurement. Let's say we knew the date, but we had no measurement of hours and minutes. We would likely use morning and evening as the closest reference to when we wanted to participate in a particular activity. We might even say early morning or late evening, to be a little more specific. But how would this complicate or simplify life as we know it right now? And so thinking about it like that, I mean, would life be simpler or more complicated if all we could say is, okay, I'll see you on Friday, the so-and-so.
Midday.
Well, yeah.
I mean, well, I guess it would be hard. That would give people who are always late more of a window.
Would they still be late? Would they still be late?
It wouldn't be midday. It would be early evening before they showed up. I read this book a while back where these people went completely off the grid. And that was one of their big struggles that they had as a family, is the mom would say things like, okay, guys, y'all need to come in for dinner when the sun reaches the top of the trees. But of course, if they were down farther in the holler or,
oh yeah,
you know, up for the rest of you guys out there, that's a valley, or up higher on the mountaintop, then the sun would reach the trees at a different point. And it was a really interesting book. But yeah, we'd probably be in a mess.
Well, we're so accustomed to precision timekeeping that when we read biblical accounts such as it was the third hour of the day, you guys can attest to this. We automatically think 9 a.m. or whoever's speaking will say that took place at 9 a.m.
Please tell me I'm not the only one who thought 3 a.m.
I know. That's where my mind always went because, you know, the day starts at midnight. So
sorry,
for
Dad.
Us, but not for them, remember?
Right.
Remember, it's different for them. We automatically think 9 a.m., yet the truth is we don't know if this is 3 hours after daybreak, mm-hmm. 3 hours after sunrise, which both, by the way, change a little every day.
Yes, they do.
Einstein believed that time wasn't constant anyway.
Oh, that guy again.
He believed time was relative to where you are and what you're doing. Mm-hmm. We have all experienced this. The measurement of time is strictly external. Did you ever think of that?
Mm-hmm.
We don't have any way to sense date or time internally.
Right.
If we are doing something we really enjoy doing, like sleeping, for example, mm-hmm. time seems to pass quickly. Is it morning already? It feels like I just laid down. However, if we're waiting on a plane, a train, a bus, or a friend to arrive to pick us up for a road trip, it seems like time is standing still. Someone put it like this. When you're sitting on the porch swing with your lover, an hour seems like a moment. When you're sitting on the side of the road in the hot sun waiting for help, a moment seems like an hour.
I think my best explanation of this relativity of time is look back on your childhood summers. The younger you were, the longer the summers seem to feel between school getting out and school blooming. But as you become more aware of the time and how quickly it's passing, your summers become shorter and shorter. It's still the same amount of days, but your realization that August is coming, August is almost here.
It's almost time to go back to school.
I was
time, almost time.
I can't remember who said it, and I failed to write it down, but it was a quote I was reading, and he said, you should live every day like it's the first day of your honeymoon and the last day of your vacation. And it's true because that's what we...
Yeah, that's true.
You know,
yeah, I like that.
It's pretty interesting. But we do. I mean, you know, you take a vacation and it just seems like a week-long vacation and it's over like that. But that work week, man, it just keeps dragging on and it's the same amount of time.
Yeah. Another way to know we aren't designed with an internal sense of measuring time is to take an afternoon nap. Wake up, look at the clock that measures 6 o'clock. Unless you have something that tells you AM and PM. So you look outside and you aren't sure, is it dusk or dawn? You wonder, is it 6 in the morning or 6 in the evening? And this is very disorienting to us. We are paralyzed. We don't know what we should be doing until we figure out what.
If it's 6 a.m. or 6 p.m.
It's so funny. DJ was just laughing. You guys have heard this story, but I don't know, several months ago. Could have been years ago. I don't know. I had laid down and taken a nap. And I woke up because DJ woke me up. He was banging on something. And I was like, what is he doing? And I went in there and I said, what are you doing? And he said, I'm putting this shelf together. And I said, at 6 o'clock in the morning, you're going to wake up the whole entire house. And he goes, Tabby, it's 6 p.m. And I was like, oh.
Carry on.
Go ahead with what you're doing.
Yeah. So, we don't have anything internally.
Mm-mm. And that is something I never really considered is that we don't have an internal.
We like to talk about our internal.
You know
clock,
why? You know why? Because we're God inside. Mm. We're God inside, and God has no God has no need to measure anything, to measure time. And that's because we're God inside.
I like that.
We don't need, because time shouldn't, we're eternal creatures. Time doesn't mean anything to us. It shouldn't.
Right.
See, all we're trying to point out here is man has invented this. We are just controlling. We just keep bringing our lives into more and more control as we progress as humanity. As we progress, we put more and more stressors and more control, precise control over our lives, for everything. Time is purely external. It is not internal.
True.
When you think about it. Did you ever consider the text in the book of Revelation where John says, and the angel came down and puts one foot on the land and one foot in the sea and raises his hands towards heaven and declares that time shall be no more? We often reference this as this is the destruction and the end of everything. Except you turn over a few pages and we read there's a new heaven and a new earth. What are we to make of this? Is the new heaven and new earth going to be without time?
I think so. I think that's the entire...
Is that something that you guys can really fathom in any way of not being bound
Your brain will snap back when you really start trying to. I'll give you an example. Are you guys familiar with the Raphael Keating experiments that they did in the late 70s? And they're still carrying
when
them out today.
When you explain it, I may, not by title.
Okay. Atomic clocks are the most absolutely precise clocks that have ever been created.
So far.
And they took three of these clocks. They put one on the ground and they put one in two different commercial jetliners and flew them around the world in opposite directions. In other words, one went east all the way around the world. One went west all the way around the world.
And one is in the ground.
One's sitting at the airfield where they took off. And the other two are on planes going in opposite directions, circling the globe.
Okay.
And they come back to the airport. They take the two out of the plane and they set them down right next to the control, the one that was sitting on the ground the whole time. And guess what happened?
The time's different because the faster you travel,
the slower time goes.
So the two clocks on the two planes show different times than the clock on the ground.
And while I understand this,
the faster you travel, the slower time goes.
That was Einstein's. And Einstein said, finally, when you get to the speed of light, there's no time at all.
And you guys can focus on that because while I understand this in concept, I cannot make my brain wrap around that idea.
Well, we can't. That's what makes people like Einstein so unique.
Yes.
But now if you look at people that believe that actually this new heaven and new earth thing is that we just actually roll into a fifth dimension, a fourth or a fifth. We're in a three-dimensional earth, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. We live in a three-dimensional world. Actually, their theory is it's kind of like the earth really doesn't change. We lapse into a fourth dimension.
Hmm.
So it's not just time, space. It is, you know, and they're saying the next earth, everybody's saying the next earth, the real next dimension is a five dimension instead of just three dimension. We're going to move into a fifth dimension earth.
Wow.
And where we our perception, just to think about how if we were not regulated by time, how our perception of everything would change.
I'm still blown away with the whole plane thing. I'm gonna have to.
Do some research.
It's proven that the time slows down, and those jets were flying. I don't think they were even flying at Mach 1. I think they were just
commercial jets. I mean, just flying it.
But so
you should also look up. Those of you out there that are finding this conversation at all interesting should also look up the dimension. The video is done by Bill Nye, the science guy. Mm-hmm. I know that sounds silly because he's doing it toward kids, but it's the only way that my little pea brain can understand the differences in the dimensions. And it's really interesting.
Last year I spent trying to just understand the theory of relativity, Einstein's theory and his theory of what special relativity. I had to go to like a cartoon type deal on YouTube to just get my mind in the place because these people, I thought, well, I'll just switch over here. And this guy's talking about time. And it's like, I don't understand anything he's saying. And I just kept going. And finally I found one that was a cartoon and it's a guy dressed up as a professor with a stick and he's showing you cartoons. And I go, okay, I get a little bit of that.
Yeah.
Yep.
Huh.
If we were on Mars, our days would be about the same. since Mars takes just over 24, I think it's 24 hours and 30 something minutes. I don't
39
know.
39 minutes.
Okay. Mars takes just over 24 hours to make a single rotation on its axis. However, it takes Mars almost twice as long to complete a single rotation around the sun. So a Mars year is nearly as long as two Earth years. If we actually colonize Mars like we're thinking about doing and trying to do someday, will we need a Mars calendar?
We have
to
one.
Adjust our hours and minutes to the slightly longer Mars day?
There is a Mars calendar. I just actually found this out a couple of weeks ago on one of my documentaries. That it is called a Sol calculator, S-O-L, because...
I have seen that, but I didn't know what that
was. Yeah, well, a lot of people don't realize that the name of our sun, we always call it the sun, but the sun's name is the Sol, S-O-L.
Okay.
Because... every star has a name.
Solar.
Uh-huh.
Solar.
Solar.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's called the Sol calendar. And they have like actual, there's a year and a day on Mars right now using Sol years. I just thought that was interesting. Huh. Throw it in there.
Questions like this is what likely led Einstein to conclude that time is relative instead of constant. Take into consideration that Mars has seasons, and actually it's tilted exactly the same on its axis as the Earth is, 25 degrees, I understand, on its axis, just like the planet Earth. So, consideration that Mars has seasons, but they last almost twice as long as Earth's seasons.
Hmm. That's boggling.
You know, if we were on Mars, we would have 6 months of spring, 6 months of summer, 6 months of fall, 6 months of winter.
Could do without the 6 months of summer.
I don't especially know, it gets
if
really
it's on Mars. Yeah. It really depends on what part of Mars you're on. Well, why is any of this important anyway? Well, it may not be to anybody but just me. It's good to contemplate that the measurement of time is only important to humanity as we dwell on planet Earth. Did you ever think of that?
Yes.
Time means nothing off of this planet.
No.
And of course, unless you're going to the moon and trying to get back to this planet.
Right,
and of course,
right.
Time, you need that precise timing to make sure you hit the target. But I'm just saying, when we re-enter our eternal state, we have no reason to reference time, do we?
No.
Mm-mm. Man really only uses time to reference the time he has spent on the planet Earth and approximate the time he has left here. Isn't that really what time?
Yes. Yes.
We're counting down? Mm-hmm. We're counting down, you know, we're not, you know, we've talked about those life countdown clocks, you know, that they take all of your information and they put it.
Yeah, mine are never really good, but anyway.
And this is what's estimated how long you're going to live. Okay, so next time someone asks you your age, feel free to cut it in half and reference Mars time, Sol time.
Yes,
Sol time. Oh, by the way, since the gravity on Mars is about 1/3 of the Earth, give them your Mars weight too.
I'll go with that.
That makes me 30 years old and 65 pounds. Oh, well. Hope you enjoyed that. Until next time, may 2022 be the best year of your life. Say it right now. This is going to be the best year of my life, whether I'm on Earth or Mars. Doesn't matter.
Did you enjoy listening to God Beyond the Bible? Do you have an idea for an episode? Connect with us today. Visit our website at godbeyondthebible.com, all one word, or send us an email at email@godbeyondthebible.com, or you can visit us on Facebook. Just type God Beyond the Bible into the search bar.